Before we get to the podcast, I wanted to make sure that you knew that my online knee course with Lenny Macrina is on sale for $200 off this week. If you want to learn exactly how to evaluate and treat the knee, you're going to love our comprehensive course where we cover our clinical examination, exercise progressions, and specific information on ACL, meniscus, patellofemoral, articular cartilage, osteoarthritis, and so much more. Plus, you can earn a ton of CEU credit. The course is on sale this week for $200 off. Head to MikeReinold.com/knee for more information and to sign up today.
On this episode of the Ask Mike Reinold Show, we talk about how you can start specializing in specific sports rehabilitation.
The Ask Mike Reinold Show. Helping people feel better, move better, and perform better.
Before we get to the podcast, I wanted to make sure you knew about my free online course on the Introduction to Performance Therapy and Training. If you want to learn how to get started optimizing and enhancing performance, this is the course for you. Head to MikeReinold.com/performance to sign up today. Welcome back, everybody, to the latest episode of the Ask Mike Reinold Show. We're here at we're at Champion in Boston, Massachusetts. We're here answering all your physical therapy, sport performance, fitness related questions. We're here for you. If you have questions just like we're about to answer, head to MikeReinold.com and click on that podcast link, and we got a nice big form for you to fill out. Okay. Len, are you prepared? Because if not, Mike is.
I've been practicing all morning.
All right, so Mike. Mike is going to introduce the students today because we have a lot of students right now. So it's weird how things, sometimes the clinical rotations tend to overlap a little bit. Today's actually Ryan's last day, although he's going to be on the next four episodes now. You're starting
4 weeks left.
Starting to see how we do this. But Mike, you want to introduce the students today?
So we have a quadrant of students.
Quadrant? I don't think that's appropriate use of the word square quadrant.
We have Andrew or Austin Riff. Jeez.
All right, start over.
Austin Riff from Franklin Pierce University in the satellite office that is in Arizona.
Right.
We have Evan Jurjevic from Trine University. Apparently, this is their symbol. We have Ryan Johnson from Winston-Salem State University. Andrew King from the University of Hartford in CT in Connecticut.
CT. Nice. Welcome, everybody. Good job, Mike Scuduto. We're getting pretty close to 200 episodes. For those that have been watching from the beginning, you can see why I have now outsourced the introduction of the students because
I've subcontracted it.
It's getting super hard to keep them all organized. But who's going to be the lucky reader for today's episode?
I'll do it.
Nice, Ryan taking the lead the first time in 8 weeks. But let's start now.
10 weeks, actually.
All right, what do we have for a question, Ryan?
We have Chris from New York. He says, "Hi, guys. I'm a young physical therapist, less than 2 years out of school in an orthopedic setting, and I'm looking to specialize in baseball-related injuries and rehabilitation. I was wondering what your best advice would be to move toward a specialization such as baseball."
All right, so 2 years out of college?
2 years.
Is that what it was? Good. So pretty common question I think that we have, and I don't think we need to talk about baseball, right? We can all talk about anything we want, but I guess the question is, a young clinician 2 years out wants to start specializing in some sport or some activity, this one specifically baseball. Probably a good question, and I'm glad you've done it this way. Because we have students and young clinicians all the time that come through and immediately want to specialize in something. And I kind of like how you're, you know, 2-3 years out of school, you've kind of learned a little bit of everything, right? Doing some general kind of approaches and now want to get a little bit more specific. I like that. So who wants to start? I mean, let's answer this as a kind of like how to specialize into a niche population, right? Or as Dave would say, a niche population, right? Who wants to start first?
Let me do it.
Well, man, I don't know.
I definitely
would take a poll by the audience. Doesn't sound like Dan's into it, but
yeah. How'd you get into baseball?
So when I was 14, I actually played baseball a little bit, but I can't throw anymore. Anyway, I think what's really important is you have to be embedded into the community that you want to be a part of, right? So for me, I did a lot of fitness. I also did a lot of CrossFit. So the first thing I did is I was a CrossFit coach, right? So if I want to try to be within this community, I have to actually be within this community first and foremost. Part of that is networking with a lot of local coaches. So what I did is I did a ton of going from CrossFit gym to CrossFit gym, speaking to the coaches, talking to them a little bit. If they're sending athletes to me, I communicate back with them. We collaborate a little bit over the course of time. I also allied myself with different surgeons in the area that knew about fitness and knew about kind of the physical, the surgery side for the fitness population, as opposed to just like regular surgery, I guess. And that was really helpful, and that was really good for getting more people in the door for me that were specific to CrossFit, I guess.
So it sounds like what you did, you took the approach of, and you actually became a CrossFit coach, although that was before you were a physical therapist, right?
Yeah.
You were doing some strength stuff back in the day.
Yep.
Before you were PT. But what Dan did was he not only joined the community, which I think is a very valuable tip, right? Join the community so that way you understand the culture, you understand the experience, you understand even the passion, right? Like, a lot of people like want to get into like something like fitness, right? But then don't enjoy working out. Well, that's going to be really challenging because it's not going to be very authentic that you don't train yourself. How are you going to work with advanced level trainees? I think that's an important concept. You know, so you have to understand the techniques. You have to understand, you know, the specifics of that particular thing. But also, I think you said this really well, the culture and the community. I think that's a good one. So who else wants to talk about maybe with gymnastics? Like, how much do you think your being a gymnast and knowing not just the culture, but how to communicate to these athletes, how much do you think that's important that you have the experience to talk to these athletes that you work with?
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest thing in terms of being able to like develop rapport with a person. I think that we see this in here all the time, whether it's you guys with baseball, you know, with CrossFit, Mike with golf. It's like the second that you start speaking their language and you understand their terminology, you understand what their competitive situation looks like, they understand their goals, like you can have a very different conversation with them that I think allows them to feel comfortable and one, sharing all of their problems with you in terms of like why it hurts or what they're not telling their coach or what they're not telling their parents. But then also they probably have much more buy-in in terms of like actually following what you prescribe to them. And so, I mean, blessing or a curse, we've had people in here who like, you know, have probably gotten similar advice than you've gotten elsewhere at a physical therapist, but because you put it in the context of baseball or golf, they're like, oh, okay, like this person understands what I'm trying to get back to, or they've done this themselves, they understand it. So I think it's really important because one, you can, you know, like I said, have rapport with that person, but two is that you can be a pretty good communicator between the whole party of people involved, the parent, the coach, and then obviously you yourself as the therapist and the athlete. If you guys have common language, it's easier to talk about problems.
Yeah, and the other concept I think too is that you understand their life and their future expectations, right? Sure. So we deal with this a lot in baseball, right? We may have an athlete that sees a doctor, and because it's magically week 8, right, they can start like a throwing program or whatever it may be for whatever that was. When we oftentimes we sit down and we talk about, well, what's your strategy for the year? When do we need to be ready? What's the most important part of your year? Is it the spring or is it the summer? And we kind of have like a concierge level discussion with them that we can help guide them, because we know their goal is to get a college scholarship or to get drafted or whatever it may be for your sport. We know that that's their goal, where a lot of times doctors and other physical therapists, they're just, well, it's week 8 and I can do this exercise now, right? And it's very simplistic with the timeline versus understanding the broad scope of not only their injury right now, but their competitive season and their career. I think that's important. Mike, what do you think on what's your experience with golfers? I mean, obviously you've done a great job. Ton of golfers in here that you know, something you're passionate about. I think they all see that you're a very average golfer on Instagram if they follow you. But what
there's so many comebacks. I would say the big thing, and this is a little more in general than just golf specific, is just recognizing what your primary referral source is going to be. So for golf, if you want to work with golfers who are looking to improve their performance or if they're injured, like the primary referral is probably going to be the golf coach. And for baseball, a lot of times it's going to be a pitching coach and baseball coach. If you want to work with a lot of post-op patients, if you want to work with post-op shoulders, it's probably going to be more the surgeons. So then you have to network within those referral sources, but you have to identify it first. So for golfers, you have to, or at least in my experience, was we kind of infiltrated, a golf instructor that gives lessons that we aligned with, and we kind of took lessons from him for a while, and then eventually started talking about what we do, and then kind of grew a relationship that way. But it wasn't like we were trying to convince him to work with us. We kind of just worked with him a little bit and got to know him. And over time, we developed that relationship.
because you guys shared a lot of commonalities,
yeah.
Right? Like you shared how to help people, right? And you're doing it for the right reasons. I think that's a great example, right? Is putting yourself out there. So Dan said, you know, become a coach. Mike said, well, go work with those coaches, right? Because you want to understand what the coach is teaching. So we've all done lessons with, you know, a particular golf instructor in our area. We understand the way he thinks. So if he sends us one of his clients to look at them, we know how we can then articulate what we're going to do that aligns with his instructional strategy. So it's this easy kind of connection with that. Len, anything to add?
Yeah, no, everybody summed it up really well. I think the couple points that I'd like to make is you don't have to play the sport in order to be a master in it, but I think
still hope for baseball.
Definitely, right, exactly.
What a doctor.
But I think it definitely helps to be able to talk the talk, obviously. So I've never played Major League Baseball, but I've treated a lot of Major League Baseball players, but I understand the sport. I can treat a gymnast, but I would definitely defer to Dave for more of the specific terminology. I think of it in two different ways. I think of it learning locally with doctors, learning locally, especially for baseball, learning locally with, like Mike said, pitching coaches, hitting coaches, just coaches in general, getting that relationship. And then more of a broad educational thing, you want baseball, I'm going to challenge you again like I challenge somebody else. Go to Atlanta in January and go to the Injuries in Baseball course from ASMI and learn from the best, what we think are the best in baseball that are educating on that. So bring that back with you and network in that fashion. Go to Mike's baseball website, the Elite Baseball website, and you can learn from there. And so I think
have it bookmarked.
have that, so you're always reading those blog posts and reading research, and then you start putting content out, and then people recognize you as a leader in your area. So I think there's a bunch of different avenues that you can take that the guys have mentioned, and I think it's just, it always comes down to networking. When in doubt, just like have relationships with people, and that'll open up doors for you.
So I like it. Relationships are a big one. Immersing yourself into the environment and community, I think, is huge. But I think Lenny just really nailed it, like with that endpoint. You need to become a huge student in that specific genre, right? If that's what you want to get into, right? So you have to learn everything. You need every book, every article that comes out, every expert that you can learn from. Go to courses and actually master that. So you obviously have to be very passionate about this to be able to sustain doing this, because you're going to put a lot of effort to this. But then on social media, that is what you should be focusing on, right? If all I put on social media was like low back pain people, guess who would come find me and want to work with me? Low back pain people. Right? So it's whatever you put out there and establish yourself as someone that understands that, and you're constantly promoting that, right? Dave's all gymnastics, like on his social media feeds. You never will check Dave out because you heard about him and think, oh wow, this guy doesn't know about gymnastics. But if you're all over the place and you're doing a little bit on the ankle and then a little bit on the spine and a little bit on the shoulder and then an overhead athlete and then you have a total knee patient, that's fine, but you're not developing that specificity. So I think that's, you know, educate yourself very specifically and then educate others very specifically on social media. I think that's how I would probably wrap it up, right? So great question. We get similar questions a bunch. I think it's important to kind of address that. So hopefully that answered your question. If you have more like this, head to MikeReynolds.com and click on that podcast link. You can fill out the form and we'll keep asking. Oh no, we'll keep answering questions.
That would be an episode.
Thanks so much for listening to the podcast. If you have a question you'd like us to answer, head to MikeReynolds.com/podcast and fill out the form to submit your question. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And please share this with your friends to help spread the word. It would really mean so much to us. Please check out all my online courses, articles, newsletter, and more at MikeReynolds.com. There's always a ton of great perks for my newsletter subscribers. And be sure to check for my other podcast, the Sports Physical Therapy Podcast, where I go deep into topics and interview leaders within our field. See you on the next episode.